You would to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. I'm going to talk about a subject. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. In Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 14. Jesus is speaking and Jesus says this. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle or put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray and ask God to bless His Word tonight. Father, we thank You for the opportunity we've had to be here, the message that we've so much appreciated, the simpleness and plainness of Your Word to our hearts. We thank You for these brethren that are gathered here and for them being here and being able to come and share the thoughts that You'd have them to share with us. Thank You for this church. Thank You for these people, their pastor and his family. What a blessing they are. What an encouragement they are. Now I pray that You'll bless us tonight, next few moments. And I pray it'll be Your Word, not mine. I pray You'll speak to our hearts because You know us and You love us anyway. And You say we're Your people and that You're our God. And so help us all to be what You would have us to be in these dark days in which we live. Lord, if we know our hearts, we love You more than we ever have. And yet, as was brought out earlier, it seems like the more we try to do right, we get it messed up. So we need You more today than we did yesterday. And we'll need You more tomorrow, the next day. Help us to be fit vessels to be used in Thy service. I ask You to forgive me of my sins. Fill me with Your Spirit. Give me liberty to say those things that You would have me to speak to this eternity-bound congregation. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. And amen. Amen. As you look at the words, and these are the words of Jesus, thus saith the Lord, you think about that He says, ye are the light of the world. He's talking to His own people, His children, His sheep, His elect. That's who He's talking to. And He says to us, ye are the light of the world. Now all of us like light, don't we? I don't like dark days. I don't like foggy days. I don't like discouraging days. He mentioned the word, Brother Meadows mentioned the word delight. The root word of delight is light. We talk about being enlightened by the Word of God. The root word is light. The sun brings light. At night we have the moon and the stars. God created all of them. And what a blessing they are to us as you think about a great God that could hang the moon and the stars in place and give us the sun. And just at the right distance from us to how we need it. I mean, I don't have time to go into all that, but just let you know at the right distance that we need it to be. And so as you think about that, He says, ye are the light of the world. Now, in other places, it's mentioned, for example, let's turn to John chapter 8, verse number 12. John chapter 8, verse number 12. And hold your place there in Matthew. We're going to come back to that. But Jesus tells us here in John chapter 8 and verse number 12. Let's turn over there. I'll find it here in a moment. It says here, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now we might say that's a little bit confusing because Jesus says in one place He's the light of the world and then He says in Matthew that we are the light of the world. But that's not confusing at all. When we look at that, we know that Jesus is the light. He's the main light. He's the beacon. He is the light that we look to. He is the light of our lives. He's the one that enlightens us. He is the one that gives us light. And yet, He leaves us with this task that we as His people are the light of the world. Now, if there's ever been a darker time in the world other than the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, I don't know if there ever has been. We're living in a dark world, as the pastor brought out just a moment ago, Brother Meadows. The world is saying that what we think is evil, they say that's good. And what we say is good, that's what they say is evil. And so if we ever needed a light, listen, we need a light, don't we? Now that light there is not very bright. But you know what? This little light right here reminds me of the song, This Little Light of Mine. If this, all the lights were off in this building, that'd be a pretty bright light. Now it's not real bright, it's an inexpensive flashlight. But we may not be shining as bright as we need to be shining for the Lord. We have sin in our life and we deal with the flesh. But Jesus has left us to be the light of the world as saved people, as children of God. I believe as faithful people. Now look, if you would, to John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. The Bible says this in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light, listen, shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Therefore was a man sent from God whose name was John. And the same was came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. And then if we look down in on further down there, we'll come to that in a minute. In verse number 8, it says, He was not that light, talking about John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So we know that Jesus is the light, right? But He says to us in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 14, that ye are the light of the world. Now, to me, ladies and gentlemen, that is a responsibility that God has given us as His children to be a light in a dark world. Now, this light here is a little bit brighter. And as we think about that, we'll bring this out just to show you it's a little bit brighter. I've been in our church building when all the lights were out, no lights on. It's a pretty dark place. You know, you got the exit lights now that they have you that shine and all that. But sometimes those go out in a pretty dark place. I remember my brother, and he saw some old pictures of us, and I used to be a lot taller than my brother. He's taller than me and bigger than me now, but he used to teach Sunday school. He was deacon in our church, and he'd come over to the church, and I lived across the street, and he would get me. I was smaller than him, but he'd get me to go with him in the church. He called me Big Den because I used to be bigger than him. And I remember one night somebody had left doors open, and the police came over there, and they had said, somebody's at your building, we think. Excuse me. And I said, okay. And they said, go over there with us. I said, okay. So we go in the building, and I'm in the front, and there's three police officers behind me going through the building to see if someone is in the building. I didn't have my ball bat with me. I didn't have a knife on me. I'm a nonviolent person. Here's three police officers with guns and nightsticks, and they're following me. But I want to tell you something. I thought about this. Christ expects us to be the light, to shine brightly in a dark world. Now listen, every one of us can do that. The preacher can do that in his daily walk with God and in his ministering. The people in the pews can do that where you live, in your neighborhood, where you work. You can do that. As a young person, you can do that. You can be a light in this dark world. And that comes by separation, as he talked about a while ago. Now, the Bible says here, neither do men, it says, you are the light of the world in verse 14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I like to see cities at night. My wife and I will drive up on the hill right there outside of our town and look down on that city and all the lights there. The lights are shining brightly. It's a beautiful sight. Coming down on an airplane, we've come down an airport in different places and at night and all the lights. Man, it's so wonderful to see all the light and be able to see and those kind of things. And we need that. We need that. But more than that, Our lights need to shine for the Lord. I don't care what age you are as a child of God, you can be a bright and shining light. Let me just do a sidebar here. There are people, there are desperate people that need us to be a light for them, to point them to Christ. I've told you this before, but it always grips my heart. I have people that come and knock on my office door. And they sit across the desk from me, and my heart breaks. I mean, they're desperate. They have all kinds of problems. They have all kinds of troubles. Some of them claim to be saved. Some of them don't claim to be saved. But I always think this. But by the grace of God, I'd be over there. Now, I won't tell you, I deserve to be on the other side. I don't deserve to be on this side of that desk. I deserve to be on the other side, but by the grace of God, I'm not on that side. Amen. Amen. And I owe it to God to be a shining light in a dark world. That's little to ask. Reasonable service. Little bit to ask. And let me say this. It's sad to say this, but you don't have to be much of a Christian today to be a light in a dark world. Christianity has been so watered down, and separation has been so watered down, and even good, sound Baptist churches now, they don't make an issue of so many things. I had a missionary that I know, he's a friend of mine, and he came to my office, and he said, "Brother Riddick, I don't understand why you don't support us." I said, "I can't support you. Our church can't support you." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Your pastor doesn't believe what we believe about the church and the Lord's Supper and baptism." He said, "Well, he believes it, he just doesn't preach it." He said he doesn't make an issue out of it. I mean, I cried. I cried. When he told me that, I cried. I said, "It is an issue. I didn't make it an issue. God gives it to us in His Word, and we have to abide by that. And we can't go against that and expect God to bless us and for our light to shine in a dark world. We can't compromise. I'm all for compassion, but I can't be for compromise." And if one thing that I'm trying to learn in my ministry is to what I preach and what I teach is to be motivated by love and not out of anger or not out of spite or harshness. I want to preach the same things. I want to stand for the same things. I want to believe the same things and preach that to the people because I owe that to God and owe it to them. But I want to be motivated by love. Right heart, right spirit. I preach the same thing with not the right heart and right spirit. And I'd go home and I felt awful. I know the people did. I don't want to be soft. I want to stand. But I believe our Lord was motivated by love. I believe everything He did was because He loved us. Don't you? I really do. And He wasn't a sissy. He wasn't a pushover. He took a real stand. I mean, He was a man's man. And boy, His light, wow. His light. If we can just be a reflection of His light to other people. Like He said, it's not us, it's God working through us. I'm a real dim light. My batteries are low. But when the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of you and does a work in your life, man, your light starts shining brighter. And we cannot take any credit for that. We have to give all the credit to God because He alone is worthy. It's a light that cannot be hid. A light in a city like that can be seen for miles. From aircrafts it can be seen. Here's a statement of fact. If we live for Christ, we'll glow like lights, showing others what Christ, the true light, is really like. People don't read the Bible. They look at us. I worked in retail. We talked about that. I worked in a shop. I worked all kinds of different jobs. I thought when I was called to preach, you know, I'd get a big church and I wouldn't have to work another day in my life. I didn't know what real work was. I drove a pop truck, we call it, a 7-Up truck, 16-ounce bottle, carried them all day long. I thought, man, that's work. I said, I'm going in the ministry. I worked for my uncle. And he was in construction. We'd work sometimes, be on a job like 24, 25 hours straight. I said, man, there's got to be an easy way to make a living. So I went into the ministry. Man, carrying that pop ain't so bad. Can I say this to you tonight? These pastors that are here, God has really given us an awesome responsibility. Not only are we to be a light in the world, but we're to be a light to you. I've told our church this, and I know this is serious business, and I know this is not something to take lightly. But I had rather be dead than to influence our young people, our church people, for wrong. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. The Bible says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts." Isn't that something? "Has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." God has shined in our hearts. That's what makes the doctrines of grace so precious. Why would God save me? I told our church the other day, and I don't refer to this too much because I don't want to give time to sin really, but my dad and his family, they were all drunks. My mother's brothers, they were all drunks. But by the grace of God, that's what I'd be. But God saved me. And He said, "You are the light of the world." And I want to please Him. I'm not into pleasing people. I haven't been very good at that. I took Carnegie's course and failed it several times. And I tell our people, when we observe the Lord's Supper, it's for the church members only, then fellowship with the church there. And I say, I don't do this to offend people. I do this to please the Lord. Brother Ross and I were talking about having people come to your church and you have to baptize them even if they come from some Baptist churches. But I don't do that to offend people. I do that to please the Lord. And I tell people, I say, listen, if you were my child, that's what I would tell you you need to do. If you were my mother, dad, my grandmother, grandfather, that's what I'd tell you. You need to do what the Bible says. It may be inconvenient for you, but it's what pleases God. The points of subject are some of these. I want you to think about them quickly. We hide our light by being quiet when we ought to speak up for the Lord. We hide our light under a bushel. You know, that light doesn't do much good like that, does it? Covered by sin and everything else, it gets dark. Not a very bright light. Going along with the crowd. Young people do that, but you know what? Adults do that too. Adults feel the pressure. Not just young people. Adults feel the pressure. Denying the light. You see, Peter denied Christ. Oh, sorry, no count, Peter. Why in the world? How? But people do, the Christian people do, saved people, I'll say, do that all the time. They deny Christ. They don't stand up. They don't shine their light. Just go along with the flow. Go along with the crowd. Not cause any wave. Not, you know, don't pray in Jesus' name because it might offend somebody. Hey, we're living in the United States of America. We were founded on godly principles. It's high time God's people let their light shine. I will tell you why we're in the mess we're in today. It's not because of the world. It's because of God's people that haven't shined their light like they ought to. And I'm to blame too. Starts right here. Letting sin dim our light. Having a life that's got so much sin in it, people don't see our light. They don't see our testimony. They don't see our Christian life. Not explaining our light to others. What is it about you? Have you ever prayed that God would give you the opportunity to witness to somebody? And you're going along and you got this person on your heart and mind, and God, please give me an opportunity to witness that person. And maybe that person will come up to you at work or in your neighborhood and they'll say,
You're religious. That's what they usually say. You're religious. Tell me about that. What changed your life? You know, maybe they know your life before if you lived a sinful life. An awful. And it gives you the opportunity. Had a man in our church, he'd been praying and he'd get opportunity to witness. We went to a men's conference and a lost man said, I want to stay in the room with the preacher. That kind of made me nervous. I thought, why does he want to be with me? Usually they want to be away. And the man in our church, he said, preacher, I want to witness to this fella. And he said, could you stay out of the room for a while? And let me witness to him, because I know if you're in there, you know. I said, fine. That's great, man. That's good. Yeah. 2 hours later, he came out of the room. I went in, the lost man said, I thought you were the only preacher in our church. He said, that guy preached to me for 2 hours. I said, what did you say to him? He said, I just asked him, what changed you? When he walked in the room, the guy was nervous about witnessing, and the lost man said, what changed your life? Man, that's the time to let your light shine. Tell them about Jesus Christ. And his power to save. I think I told you this because I've been here so many times, but I had a friend of mine that I went to school with, graduated from high school. He was a banker. I was a pastor of the church. He got cancer. He's going back and forth to Houston all the time for treatments and all that. And I got so burdened about him, I couldn't think about much of anything but my burden for Dick Snyder. And I told the church, I said, listen, I have burden for this fellow. I went to school with him, but I don't know if he's saved. He goes to a church and he's religious, you know, whatever. But I said, I don't know. And I said, just pray that I'll have the opportunity to witness to him. One day I'm back in the school office. Brother Reinhardt, our youth director, he came back to the office. He said, Brother Eddie. I said, yes, you know. He said, guess who's here to see you? I said, who? Dick Snyder has come to hear. He's out in the church auditorium. He wants to talk to you. Had his wife with him. I said, no, he can't be here. We're praying it'll be here. Just like when Peter went to the door, they said, he's not here. We're praying about it. Hey, you can't. They followed me up to my office. Many of you know where my office is, upstairs there, back of the auditorium sanctuary. And I sat down just like we were talking in the car. I said, Dick, you're my friend. We used to wrestle in gym class together and play sports against each other, stuff like that. And I said, I know what you're going through. I don't know. I don't understand it. But, you know, I've heard what you're going through. And I said, I just wanted to talk to you. He had cancer really bad. And I said, Dick, I want to know if you know the Lord as your Savior. Have you ever repented of your sins and by faith received Christ? And he said, I'm glad you asked me that. He said, I sure have. He said, my faith and trust is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He said, I'm going to lick this cancer, but if I don't, I'm going up. His wife's sitting there. I said, how about you? She gave her testimony. Same thing. Now, that's what the Lord can do. You see, the Lord does it all. You just might as well admit it. He does it all. It's not us. I cannot take any glory in that. I cannot take any praise in that. The Lord gave me that burden. You see what I'm saying? He gave me an opportunity to shine my light for the Lord. And He gave me that burden. And the Lord is the one that brought them there. Not me. I couldn't find Him. I tried. But when you have the opportunity, man, you got to let your light shine for God. Let me tell you something. There's some bright lights in this old world. This one here, God gave me years ago, and I'm telling you, I won't shine that in your eyes, but that thing at night, it'll light up a whole room. It'll light this room up here. You can see it on that ceiling, even in all these lights. Let me tell you about a person that's a bright light. You all prayed for her. She's my mother. She was in the hospital 19 days, three different times between Thanksgiving and New Year's. Three different times. She almost died three different times. As far as we knew, she was on her deathbed. The doctor didn't give us any hope. And let me tell you what happened. She didn't hide her light. Those nurses and doctors came in that room, and she was there. I mean, she didn't have any strength. She was losing blood internally and externally. And every one of them came in that emergency room and that ICU room. She said, I want to tell you about my Lord. I want to know if you know Christ as your Savior. The guy said, well, some of them said, hey, lady, you need to calm down. We need to work on you. She said, I want to know if you know Christ. I'm going to tell you this. The greatest Christian I've ever known in my life, the greatest light for Christ that I've ever known. My dad's been a bright and shining light for many, many years, but my mother is the one that I think has been the brightest light in my life, other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastors' wives don't get the credit they deserve. They can't get up and preach it. They can't get up and tell it and get it out of their system. The wives have to take it. And when we hurt, they hurt. My mother was a faithful pastor's wife. My dad retired. He went to Florida. They stayed there for 17 years. They got ready to move back to Hamilton because they were older and in ill health. My dad said, well, I guess you hate to leave Florida. They've been there 17 years. My mother said, I never liked Florida. He said, well, you never said anything. She said, I knew you liked it. If you know her, she has rheumatoid arthritis. I don't know how she walks on her feet. Her hands are drawn like this. She's 84 years old in March, and I've never heard her complain. You see, we can make all kinds of excuses for not being a bright light in a dark world, but there's always somebody we can look at that's got a lot more problems, a lot more trouble, a lot more pain than we do. And they're shining their light for Jesus Christ. My parents have a yard sale ministry. They go to yard sales. They pass out tracts. They witness to people. My dad says, they're not going to leave. It's their house. You know what they're doing? They hadn't retired from serving God. They're still shining their light for God. When I get discouraged and I feel down and out, I go visit them. What's wrong, son? Nothing's wrong. And after I talk to them for a while, I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. I'm not kidding you. They're wonderful, wonderful Christians. I am so blessed. When I was a teenager, I didn't think I was blessed. I thought I was cursed. They used to beat the living daylights out of me. Our people say, those are the sweetest, gentlest, kindest people I've ever seen. I said, don't let them fool you. They beat the daylights out of me. Be a beacon of truth, will you? Stand for truth. If you're going to stand for something, stand for what's right and truth. Be a shining light in a dark world. Do not shut out or dim the light, your light, from the world. Now, I'm going to give you these things quickly because my time is all... Man, it's 10 till 10. I didn't realize it was that late where I come from. I was preaching in California, and they let me get up there at 8 o'clock at night. And these people said something, and I said, man, listen, it's 11 o'clock where I'm from. I said, but I'll promise you this. I'll stay awake if y'all will, you know. But Ephesians 5:8. Let's look to a couple more scriptures here, and... I'm just trying to give you some examples. You know, I mean, we need to have present day examples that we can see this really works. It works, doesn't it? It works in people's lives. There are people that are bright and shining light. You think about people right now. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 8. For ye were sometimes in darkness, or for you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And then in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15. The Bible says that you may be blameless. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's us. That's us. That's you. That's you. Is that too difficult a task? I don't think so. I don't think God would expect something of us that we were incapable of doing. We're to be lights in the dark world. Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see your good works. Let's go back to Matthew 5, verse number 16. Matthew 5, verse 16. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works.
That they may see your good work. That they may see your life. That they may see how you serve God. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what it's all about. We're to be a shining light so that they will glorify our Father which is in heaven. It's not about us. It's about them. It's about Him, I mean. And then it pertains to them. Well, one of the darkest times of ever, I mentioned earlier, was Christ on the cross. And even the apostles were discouraged during that time. And as you think about that, the Bible says there was darkness over all the land. But listen, Jesus Christ is the light. We're a reflection of that light. It's not about us, although this others watch us and see if we are genuine in our Christianity. You know that. We need to point others to Christ that they might glorify the Father. Now let's look last of all at Revelation 21, verse 23. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. And the city, listen, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. I'm like Brother Meadows when I say this. I'm not the example. Christ is our example. I just want to be more like Him. I don't want people to praise me or compliment me. I don't want that. What I want is for people to see Christ in me. The light that I have is from God. It's not mine personally that I've come up with. If I have any light at all, if there's anything that in me is right, it's because of God. What kind of light are we? I don't know about you, but I desire to be a brighter light. I really do. I mean, you say, preacher, you're an old man. It wasn't too long ago. I was young. I used to go to conferences, and they said, this is one of the young preachers. And I went to a conference the other day, and they said, this is one of the older preachers. I'm only 26. Well, I got that backwards. I think it's the other way around. I hope that I've helped you tonight to encourage you. These children that are saved, they're lights. They're lights. I'll never forget one time when Melinda was talking to me, and she said, we were talking, I said something about her sisters looking up to her, and she said, I know. And she said, Brother Riddick, I look up to you. That doesn't give you the big head. That hits you right here. And you say, Lord, I want to be the right kind of example. Do you know how blessed you are, young man, over here on the end with tears in your eyes? You know how blessed you people are right there? Orville Marie, you know how blessed you are? We all know how blessed you are, all these people in here, and Jerry and all of you, and Brian's a grandpa now. You know how blessed you folks are? You get to see how God has used you to influence other lives for Christ. That's what it's all about. It's not about us. It's about Him and His influence, using us to influence others for Christ. That's what it's about. I don't think you're ever too old to do that. I don't think you're ever too young. Out of the mouth of babes. Let's do what the preacher said earlier. We all deal with the flesh. Let's ask God to forgive us so that we can be a bright light in a dark world. Would you pray for me that I will be? Pray for me that I will be. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this time with these wonderful people. I pray that all of us might be bright and shining lights in a dark world. I pray that you would forgive us of our sins. I pray that we'd be closer to you, that we'd draw nigh to you as you draw nigh to us. I thank you for these preachers that are here, for their witness and for their service to you and for their testimonies, for their ministries. I pray that you bless them beyond measure. And as you bless them, you bless their people as they minister to their people. As a reflection of your love and your light in their lives to others that they minister to. And I pray for some that are out and away, and their lights are not shining brightly anymore. I don't judge them. I don't dislike them. I want to love them. And I want to pray for them. And I want to encourage them to ask for God's forgiveness so they can be a bright and shining light. We need everyone that's saved, children of God, people that are sound New Testament Baptist people to shine brightly in this dark world. Thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor and exaltation because you alone are worthy. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. And amen. Thank you, Brother Reynolds and the church for having me tonight. Thank you.